Hello, everyone. Welcome to the second season of Wise Women's Faith Podcast, a podcast that provides hope, encouragement, godly advice, all while inspiring and empowering. I am Trisha Duckworth. Did you know from 2013 to 2016, 10.4% of women were found to have depression compared with 5.5% of men? Listen, depression is a treatable medical illness that can occur in any woman. 12 million women in the U.S. alone experience clinical depression each year. Y'all, this is a serious subject that most individuals want to run away from. Depression is real. Today, my guest, Shaquita, she will chat about her experience with depression. Shaquita is a wife, she's a mom, she's a businesswoman. Today's topic, modern housewife, my experience with depression. Now, I'm going to allow Shaquita to introduce herself as she would do it better. Welcome to the platform, Shaquita.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
All right. But tell us where you're from and tell us a little bit about yourself.
Okay. So I'm actually originally from Cleveland, Ohio, but I currently reside in New York City. I've been here for almost 10 years. And I have two children, Nelson and Zoe. And I also have a magazine called Modern Housewives. So I basically like to promote and celebrate women in business, and also promote other difficult topics that moms don't really speak about openly, such as postpartum depression, struggles with breastfeeding, stay-at-home mom things. So lots of conversations that a lot of people don't even have, like, out in the open and in public. We like to just keep it, you know, raw and honest.
Mm-hmm. Yes. That is so true. Well, let's chat about your experience with depression. In what phase in your life did you experience it?
So I actually had a little moment. I can't say it was a moment, but it was a moment with postpartum depression after I gave birth to my son, who's my first child. So that was back in 2017.
So I
basically kind of could recognize that, you know, something was wrong, something was off. And my postpartum depression was actually self-diagnosed, because I feel like a lot of times, you know, moms and Black moms in particular, we go to the doctor and, you know, they give you a sheet of paper and say, like, you know, check this box if you're feeling this way. And if you're a new mom, like, you are not fully able to tap into those feelings. So it's like, if you don't check the box, then they just don't follow up. And that's pretty much what happened to me. So, yeah.
Wow. So what was that like, though? Was it like, did you feel like in a dark place? Share with us. Give us some of that. Help us understand what that felt like, you know, going through that season in your life.
So the very moment when I realized that I was depressed, it was a time where I was trying to exclusively breastfeed my son, and it just was not working. He was a cluster feeder, and he, you know, most babies, they feed every, you know, hour and a half to 2 hours. My son was feeding every half hour. So I just simply, I was beating myself up because I was like, okay, maybe I'm not making enough milk to keep him full. So then I started to like down myself because I felt like, you know, I was less of a mom because I couldn't produce that milk for him. And the moment when I realized it was just when, you know, he would cry because he was hungry and then I would cry. So it's literally like nonstop days of just crying to the point where I was just very, I was tired and I was exhausted. And like, at some point I was just like, something's not right here. Like, I don't feel like myself. I'm very sad. I'm very unhappy. And it was really, it was almost like I was resenting my baby. I didn't really want to be bothered with him at that point because I'm like, you know, here I am with these cracked and bleeding like nipples and I'm in pain emotionally, physically, to, you know, be, show up for him the way that I wanted to. So I actually had, I had posted something on social media and it was basically, I think it was like, I'm having such a rough day or something along those lines. And a friend of mine, we actually went to college together. We weren't super close at the time, but you know, we were acquaintances. And she reached out to me and she said, listen, hey, if you need to talk, I'm always here for you. So she had actually just had her baby a few months prior. So I did reach back out to her. I gave her a call and she gave me the advice that has stuck with me forever. She said, if you need to supplement with formula, that does not make you a bad mom. And she literally, with that statement alone, she took me, she, like, every day I started to get better. She brought me out of the darkness. And I dealt with that dark, dark space for, I don't know, maybe about a year and a half. It, you know, I wasn't as sad as I was that day. I can say that that day I had hit rock bottom. I didn't know where to turn, who to turn to, because everybody, the doctors, my mom, everybody was telling me to exclusively breastfeed. But here's this other mom who is experienced now. And she's like, look, if you need to give yourself a break, give yourself a break. Like, you, that doesn't make you a bad mom. And that actually inspired my whole brand, because I didn't have a mom tribe to lean on to say, like, this, this may happen. And I mean, I tell moms all the time, like, there's a million and one books that you can read like while you're pregnant, but a lot of them don't tell you the realness that comes with it. Nobody told me like I could possibly have a baby who cluster feeds and I'm probably gonna need some nipple cream to, like, you know, ease the pain of it. So like, this is the whole purpose of my brand in general, is to have those seasoned moms to help the new moms. And I mean, it's, you know, depression comes with the package. Like, unfortunately, that's not a lot of talk. You know, people kind of, I mean, so many women go undiagnosed with postpartum depression for that very reason, because we feel afraid to talk about it. Like, I'm not myself. You know, I was this happy-go-lucky person before, and now I'm sad, and I want to scream, and I want to yell, and I'm angry. These things, they're not normalized, and that's pretty much why I'm here.
Yes. Thank you again for being here. Now, was this the season where you were overcoming the depression? I mean, after you listened to that young lady who gave you some advice, is this during that season that you start looking at your situation a little different and start to overcome
this,
you know, feeling of depression?
I'm in the overcoming season right now.
Come on, come on,
yes.
come on. Talk to us about it.
So yeah, like I said, I experienced postpartum depression for about a year and a half, and then I gave birth to my daughter, which was a very, very traumatic birth. I mean, I'll tell you a little bit about it. The pregnancy was difficult in general because I was extremely exhausted. I was so sick, and I had a toddler already. So it was a lot on me in general, and I really just couldn't wait to give birth. So the morning of my birth, I had a scheduled C-section because, I used to be epileptic, and I actually cured myself of that as well. So I decided, okay, well, since I had a C-section the first time, I'll go ahead and, you know, have a repeat C-section and, you know, just make it easy on myself. So my birth was scheduled. That morning, I just felt an eerie feeling, like something just was not going to be right. And I'm just that type of person. Like, I tap into my feelings a lot. So that's how I was even able to self-diagnose postpartum depression. But that morning, I called my aunt to pray with me because I was like, you know, I'm feeling really nervous, like something's not going to be right. And my feelings were right. When I was on the operating table, I couldn't breathe. I was like gasping for air because I had to get a local anesthesia. And I was trying to tell the surgeon, like, look, I can't breathe, I can't breathe. And she was like texting on her phone, and I was like trying to sit up. And she was like, no, don't sit up. But she was still texting on her phone. So this is one of those things that a lot of people are now starting to tap into, like when Black women say, I'm in pain, I'm hurt, like they right. take us as these supernatural beings where it's like, you know, oh, she's just being dramatic. But it's like, no, I can't breathe, fix my problem. So that was problem number one.
Right.
Then the anesthesiologist took care of that. And then my daughter was finally born. And, you know, like when you give birth, you want to hear that cry because that lets you know that everything is okay.
Right.
She wasn't crying.
Right.
So I kept asking my husband, what's going on? I can't hear her. I can't hear her. I can't hear her. All I could hear is just like choking, gasping for air like I was. So my daughter was not breathing on her own. So they had to take her away immediately. I never got to meet her or anything until 24 hours the next day. She was in the NICU on breathing tubes and everything. So once I finally found out what was going on with my daughter and what the plan was going to be, I had stayed up all night the night before pumping because I was like, I know she's going to need milk. I know I need my milk to come in because we didn't have that time for her to latch or anything. So when I figured out the plan, I walked. Now, no, I just had surgery. I walked from one end of the hospital to the other end every 3 hours to feed my daughter. I don't know where I even got the strength, but I was like, she needs me, so I'm going to show up for her. So, no, these are all things that I had to get over. Within a 24-hour span, I was on the operating table and I couldn't breathe. Then my daughter's born and she can't breathe and she has to go to the NICU and I don't get to see her. I don't even know if she's going to live or not until 10 o'clock the next morning, a full 24 hours later. Then on top of that, every single thing, like, because when you have a C-section, they require you to pass certain tests before you can get up and walk. So you have to have a bowel movement. You have to pee. You have to eat, all of these qualifications. I checked every box within 2 hours because I was that determined to go over there and save my daughter. So within all of this time span, I had no time to look out for self. None. Because I had to focus on my little girl. So then on top of that, once I got her back, so I helped her. Like every 3 hours I came over to her. She had another tube taken off. I'm sorry. Hello? Oh, sorry.
Oh, go ahead. I'm listening. I'm listening. Go ahead. So go ahead. It's interesting.
Every 3 hours I went over, she had another tube taken off. She had another, you know, every single time it was like she was getting better and better to the last time I went, and they were like, she's coming back with you today. And I was like, thank God. So the power of breast milk, y'all, I'm telling you, it's important.
All right. But, I know that's right. That natural stuff. Yes.
I actually got her back to the room with me, and then the next day it was time to go home. So now I have to go home to as a mom of two now. So I haven't had any time to really take care of myself and recover.
Yes, self-care.
So the amount of trauma that happened mentally, physically, because again, I just had a major surgery and I haven't given my body time to heal. So that sent me into another depression, because on top of that, I was just trying to get over the postpartum depression that I experienced with my son. Now I'm in another depression for a different reason. Like, it was a different type of trauma that I was experiencing. And I kept saying to myself, like, thank God my daughter's here. Thank God she's here, because she could have died. I could have died.
So, right.
That's why I say I'm in the recovery period now, because in the fall of last year, a year ago, my daughter just turned one, September 23rd, I was in an extremely dark place. And the crazy thing is because I knew what I had experienced with my son, I knew how to recognize the signs, so I knew how to treat my depression this time, which is why it's
I just need to tap in on this real quickly. And I know the inquiring minds and listeners would want to know, because you did say cure yourself. Elaborate a little bit on that.
So basically, what I had to do in order to get better was to recognize what I needed to make me feel comfortable and make me feel happy, because again, depression comes with a lot of a lot of sadness, a lot of darkness. So for me, I felt like getting outdoors and like being distracted by certain things. I feel like when I stay inside, my mind wanders. Sometimes it's for a positive reason. Like, I get a lot of ideas for my business or whatever, but a lot of times also it wanders into the dark places where I start beating myself up and I start feeling bad about myself. But when I'm outside and I'm getting the fresh air and I'm in the sun, like, it revives me, even if I'm just out there for 10 or 15 minutes, you know, it's helpful. So I feel like that looks different for everybody. I just knew like what I needed to do for me. And I have and am dealing with a lot of other things that have come with the depression. Like, I have an extreme weight loss story, because I am breastfeeding. Like, I'm naturally a petite person, and then it's like, you know, I exclusively breastfed my daughter and I lost my baby weight within a month, and then after that I just kept going. So it was the struggle, it's a struggle for me to, you know, wear my clothes, and I'm like, oh my God, this doesn't fit. So even that, like, affects me mentally sometimes as well. So I'm still, like, getting better every day. So I have to also, like, take a look at my body and say, look, you know, yeah, you don't look the way that you used to. You have the stretch marks, you're thin, but you birthed a whole human. You fed a whole human. Like, this is the bigger picture here. So, not to kind of like put myself to the back burner by saying that, it's just that I know that I won't be like this forever. So it's kind of like me putting the whole situation into perspective. My daughter's not going to be breastfeeding forever. So I will get my body back. I will look the way that I wanted to. So,
Wow. Well, I am rooting for you. You hear me? I am rooting for you. Awesome. Now, listen, you're a wife, you're a mom of two beautiful children. Tell us real briefly about your roles and how becoming this modern housewife is changing your life.
So my role is very hands-on. And this is also another thing that I went through in terms of depression, because I've been working a day job since I was 15 years old. So that's literally over half my life. Mm-hmm. I worked a day job. When I met my husband, I was a fashion designer in the corporate world. You know, I was booming. I, you know, mm-hmm. hair done, nails done, you know, expensive clothes and jewelry. Like I was it. And I don't want to say was, like, you know, I'm not it now, because I am. I'm slaying, okay, as somebody's mother. Yeah. But
right. Absolutely. Absolutely.
But I will say that leaving the corporate world, it wasn't my decision. It was something that needed to be done. And it broke me down a little bit, because mm-hmm. I never mm-hmm. saw myself being a housewife. Like, so many women feel like, okay, well, you know, I would love to do that. And granted, if that's what you like, then that's what you like. This is something that I had to get used to, mm-hmm. Because I was used to, you know, making right. my own money and, you know, going out and taking the train to work every day. Like, that was my thing. I loved getting dressed and going to the office, having lunch with my girlfriends on my lunch break. You know, all of mm-hmm. that quickly was stripped away from me. And it took some getting used to. So I am very hands-on with my family. You know, I know from my Instagram, it just kind of seems like really glamorous. And it's like, all this girl does is just get dressed up in pretty clothes. But I get in and I get my hair, my hands mm-hmm. dirty. You know, I cook dinner every day. I clean up the poop. I like, that's just, it's it. I'm very mm-hmm. hands-on. Mm-hmm. I take care of my husband. Wow. Because I often joke mm-hmm. and say that I have three children. Because, I mean, if you're a wife, you know. So.
Right. Come on. Come on. I sure do. Shaquita, what advice can you give someone who may be facing depression? I mean, it could be the same type of depression or the same type of role, the same type of experience that you're going through or have gone through, and they can see themselves out of that dark place. Provide some advice to them.
This is a tough one. I struggled with it when you sent it over because... I really do feel like first it's just important to recognize that you are feeling something, even if it's just the slightest bit of sadness. Like, you don't even have to be like in the darkest of dark places, but if it's like the slightest bit and you're just like, I don't really feel like myself. And I mean, depression comes at different times. Like, there can be a situation mm-hmm. that sends you into depression. Some people have depression mm-hmm. from a very young mm-hmm. age. It really all depends, but I will say
right.
therapy, therapy, therapy. I cannot say it enough.
Yeah.
Like,
come on.
You can't just be out here, yeah. you know, free with no therapist. Like, everybody needs somebody to talk to. I'm gonna put that in the air, because I feel like
so
a lot of times in the Black community, when people want to recommend and say, like, you should see a therapist, people mm-hmm. turn their nose up at it. Like, oh, I'm not crazy. You mm-hmm. don't have to be crazy to see a therapist. You could be completely fine and go talk to a therapist. So
I know, right?
I just think mm-hmm. that should also be more normalized, because therapy has helped me. It has helped my husband. We see therapists separately. We see a therapist together. Mm-hmm. Like, it's important to get those feelings mm-hmm. out there, because I'm gonna tell you this one thing: when you have, if you're feeling all these feels and you mm-hmm. hold them with inside, at some point those feelings are gonna disperse, mm-hmm. and it's not gonna be pretty. It's gonna be like a bomb. So it's, and I'm speaking from experience.
Yes, it is.
It right. happens.
Mm-hmm. Yes, great advice. Great advice. I hope you all are listening to this. This is some good stuff. If you know someone who's going through depression, let them know about this podcast, because she is providing some valuable tips.
Thank you.
Valuable tips. Thank you so much, sweetie. I really appreciate that. So, okay, chat about your magazine.
So we got Nelson, Zoe, Big Nelson, and then Modern Housewives. I got four babies. So my magazine is just, so it's a nonprofit. So every single service that we provide, it is free of charge. Only time I do charge is if, you know, some of the expenses need to be covered, like if it's a dinner or something like that. But I still even try to, like, have those things free as well. So I do wellness events. We have a magazine that comes out. I try to do monthly or bi-monthly. And like I said, a lot of the articles are very open and real and honest, things that you don't typically see in other magazines. So we talk all about the tough conversations. So again, we speak a lot about postpartum depression, because I feel so passionate about it, especially since it snuck up on me. I don't want that to happen to other moms. Like, it's overlooked a lot, especially in the healthcare system. Like, I can't tell you the number of times I've been given that little paper and they just ask you to check a box and then that's it. Nobody ever follows up with you and say, how are you feeling or anything. So we have the magazine. It's a whole corporation now. So we have the magazine, and we also have the event space. We have the podcast, and now we are getting ready to actually start offering mental health counseling for moms who feel like, you know, they may have the baby blues, or they may, you know, be depressed. It's just important to have a tribe, whether you're a mom or not. You need to have a tribe to depend on. You can just be honest with and say, look, I'm not really feeling myself today. And, you know, can you take some time out with me, sit with me, eat with me? Like, especially during this pandemic, like, I feel like a lot of depression is going to be on the rise because of this. A lot of people had to quarantine alone, which, you know, I'm extremely grateful that I have my husband and my children and I didn't have to do this alone. But it's really important to, you know, be able to tap in to those feelings. So we have that service as well. And it, you know, I try to keep it fun. So, you know, all of my articles are very bright and colorful. My Instagram's very bright and colorful. So I just try to keep it fun, but
I know that's right. Y'all hear this? Look, provide your social media information. We need to follow you. There are so many women who need this. Provide that social media information and your podcast information. And then I'm going to also put it in description
so
too. But provide that information to us all.
THEMHW Magazine. So the MHW Magazine. And that's for Modern Housewives. And then my podcast, you can find it on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Anchor. It's called Modern Housewives as well.
Love it. Love it. So this is the, think I would say, the $1 million question. What would you do differently if you could?
So what you mean in terms of depression or...
In terms of everything that has gone on in your life, because you have a wonderful family, beautiful family, husband, two children, you have a magazine. But if you can do something differently up until this point, what would it be if you could?
I know you did.
I know, right? I got you.
You did.
But you were supposed to... I don't want to answer for you, but I know that... depression, you probably wouldn't have want to experience some of the darkness that you did, I'm sure, because who wants to? Nobody wants to, right? But it can also be the blessing in disguise, because look how many women you're going to be helping, because you had to go through what you went through.
Those things, I don't regret. I feel like, you know, God puts us in these situations for a reason. And I do feel like me going through postpartum depression actually made my career path more clear. So
yes, absolutely.
I honestly don't feel like I would do anything differently. Even if I had,
well, there you go.
I kept thinking to myself, because before I started my magazine, I tried to be an event planner. And I had actually, you know, took out a loan for the company, and I had, you know, like put so much funding into it, and it didn't work. So I was gonna say, like, that I regret that, but I actually don't, because that experience actually inspired the book that I'm writing. So I just feel like I feel like everything that has happened for a reason. And you know, I'm very intentional about my decision making. I'm a very level-headed person, not to even kind of like pat myself on the back, but I am. Like, I weigh all my options. I think about everything before I do. So I don't know.
Well, remember, listen, I said if you could. Know what? So in your case, you wouldn't do anything differently.
I do.
Everything is working out the way it's supposed to.
When speaking in terms of depression, I do feel like I would have voiced my feelings better with my husband. Because a lot of the feelings that I was feeling, like, understandably, like, my husband didn't totally understand postpartum depression until I actually voiced that I had it. But before I realized it, I was not being honest about my sadness. So I will say that part I do regret, because he was basically a partner walking with a blind stick, and that's not fair to him. It's like he can't help me if he doesn't know that I need help. So I will say that is another thing that people should also do. If you have a partner and you are feeling depressed, you have to tell them. Like, you have to say something. Even if you don't know that you're depressed, like, be more honest about your feelings. And say, I'm not feeling like myself today. I'm not really sure what it is. But, you know, maybe we can figure it out together.
Love it. I love it. You are amazing. I appreciate you so much for taking time out to come on this platform, because this was much needed. I promise you, it's much. And once again, people don't talk about it. They don't realize, like you said, even with therapy, that they need it. They needed this. This was a great topic. I again appreciate your energy, you know, coming on. And you know what? I want to have you back. I want to have you back. Maybe we can talk a little bit more about where you're at, where you're going, talking in depth about that magazine and how you're helping so many women, you know, through this, through your ordeal, through everything you had to experience. We're going to have you back. And I pray and hope that you want to come back, because this was amazing. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. Well, you all heard it. You heard it yourself. You heard it from someone who have gone through this depression, and like she said, still going through it to a certain extent, but she's learning to grow through it. She's learning to, you know, try things different, the way she approached, the way she explained herself, and the things that she needed to get to the point she's at today. So Shaquita, thank you
so much.
Well, you all know here at Wise Women Chat Podcast, we like to leave with a scripture. We are all about inspiring and encouraging you all. And today's scripture The Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble. And that is Psalms 9:9. Now, this is what I want you all to do. I want you to hold your head up. Keep your head up. I want you to look to God, the author and finisher of your faith. It will be all right. Trust God's plan and trust his will. He will work it out for you. I promise you, we will. He promised he will in his word. Thanks again, Shaquita. I appreciate you so much. Thank you, listeners. Until next time,
bye-bye.
We'll chat later. Goodbye.